This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're joined this hour by Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. He joins us in studio for his Monday political update, and you are just off of a very rainy, wet highway back from BV, as the locals say.
It is. It's Buena Vista. It's a nice place, and they have a nice parade. It's a little bit smaller than the Dogwood Festival parade here in Charlottesville, but otherwise it's somewhat similar.
I of course, used to live in Lexington, and I was telling folks in the last half hour that BV or Buena Vista is in stark contrast to Lexington.
It is. It's a blue-collar town. It's a factory town.
Yeah, and of course Lexington, Washington and Lee, VMI,
another college town,
is a very small, upscale college town, very expensive place to live, actually, for, you know, there's not much there, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, no, they're both nice Shenandoah Valley towns, but one is blue-collar and one is kind of white-collar.
Yeah, so what went down today? This is the BV Labor Day Parade is typically the kickoff for the fall
the
political season?
Traditional start of the fall political season. 36th annual parade in Buena Vista. George Allen was there on a horse, a brown and white horse named, Painted Bubba.
Oh, there you go, of course.
Yeah. kind of shy, skittish horse. And a couple of governors running along the route, Mark Warner, who just left office a year ago or beginning of this year. And Tim Kaine ran and sort of stood in for Jim Webb, the Democratic candidate, who was off in South Carolina seeing his son, Jimmy, off to...
A Marine headed to Iraq, right?
Iraq, Ramadi, yeah. Right, tomorrow.
Yeah. Gosh. So Webb wasn't there, but Allen was there, Warner, Kaine.
And all those statewide elected officials and a bunch of people who want to run statewide. So, you know, it was a good crowd.
Good. Now, did you get any time with the governor or get any good juicy quotes we might be seeing in the Daily Progress from Mark Warner or George Allen?
We all talked to him. He was made himself very available. Mostly he was running along the parade route kissing babies. Warner was. He ran up to a 14-month-old kid and kissed him in front of his grandmother, and his grandmother said that she'd love to see him in the White House. So it was that kind of day. It was very pleasant, very upbeat, you know, just a little bit soggy because the rain was sort of, it wasn't pelting down. It was just sort of drizzly.
Yeah, yeah. So where is Warner right now? He's got his pack. And
he's got a lot of money. He has got a lot of, he's well-positioned in the Democratic Party if Hillary Clinton does what a lot of Democrats are now saying she should do and sort of step back into the Senate leadership instead of running for president. Now, there's no guarantee that that's what's happening, but there's a lot of talk in Washington and inside the Democratic Party and in the hierarchy that perhaps she would consider being the Senate leader as opposed to running in 08. Now, a lot of other people go, you know, hooey, that's a bunch of baloney, she's running. And right now it looks like she's running.
Yeah, yeah. But if she did, that's big news that that's even on the table for discussion because we haven't heard anything like that. That's just in the past few days, isn't it?
In the past few days.
Has leaked out that this might be a conversation that's happening.
Harry Reid, the Senate Minority Leader, supposedly made the offer that he would step aside in her favor. The Los Angeles Times reported that, and it's been getting some publicity. It's something that Democrats would like her to consider because she is so much a polarizing figure.
Yeah, and somebody else might stand a better chance.
Somebody like Mark Warner might stand a better chance.
Yeah, of course, that Zogby poll was fascinating. You know, Zogby took the resumes of a whole swath of possible Democratic contenders for the president and let, you know, voters look at them with no names on them, just the resumes, and by a wide margin, they picked Mark Warner's resume as the most appealing resume for a presidential contender.
He has a centrist resume, and people like that. People like someone who is not off into the one party or the other's camp totally. But the problem with that is the people who tend to nominate for each party tend to be the party faithful off on one side or the other. So he has a very tough job getting this nomination. He's well-positioned in the polls. He's well-positioned with people who think that his resume is good except for the lack of foreign policy experience. That's another detriment he has.
Yeah. Of course, you can look at that happened in Virginia where Harris Miller might be seen as the more left of Jim Webb, and yet the party chose Jim Webb as their nominee.
When a party is hungry enough, it'll do things outside the norm.
Yeah. So what's the latest on Governor Kaine? He seems to have has he survived the his first few months in office, this first assembly session, with some political clout, or is he
his popularity is about where Mark Warner's was after his first year. You know, he's in the mid to mid upper 50% popularity numbers in polling, but that really just places him where he was right after the election, with a little bit of a bump from people who defer to the governor. I don't think he's had any major accomplishments. I don't think he's had any major stumbles. So he's basically where he was when he started.
Yeah, and of course he hasn't really made any big headlines recently. Wasn't he supposed to be doing? Are we going to hear more from him with the whole K-12 initiative in the next session?
He's put that on to next year as one of his major initiatives, and that is to broaden early childhood education to try to get 4-year-olds into classrooms.
Yeah, now that's going to require more money, just like his road plan required more money. And yet he didn't run on the road plan, so when he came out urging taxes for it, the House Republicans, you know, killed him on it. But he did run on early childhood education. That's always been – he's always been talking about that.
Right, and that remains one of his signature issues, and I think he will bring that to the fore in January for the new assembly.
And, of course, you think the Republicans and the General Assembly will treat that a little bit differently maybe than his road plan because
– Well, because it doesn't involve as much money. It doesn't involve – it doesn't necessarily involve a tax increase, and it's very popular in terms of early childhood education, which has a real payback. You know, you put in the money at the beginning, and you don't pay as much later on.
Right, right. Tell me, Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, just back from Buena Vista for the big Labor Day parade, a rite of passage for politicians in the Commonwealth. Who else did you see in the parade? Anybody stick out in your mind that made the trek to BV?
Well, the Attorney General was there, Bob McDonnell. The Lieutenant Governor was there, Bill Bowling. There were a number of delegates, marched part of the route with Morgan Griffith, whose grandfather was a mayor of Buena Vista and also a football coach at the local high school back in the 40s and 50s. So he apparently was a better mayor than he was a football coach. He was mayor much longer than he was football coach.
Update us about the latest on the Al Weed and Virgil Goode race here in the 5th District for U.S. Congress.
Well, that race does not have the closeness that marks the Allen, Jim Webb Senate contest. And that's because Virgil Goode is a 5-term incumbent who everybody basically in the 5th District has voted for at one time or another because he started out as a Democrat. Democrats voted for him. He started out very popular, winning elections as a Democrat. Then he won an election as an independent, and he's won several by large margins, 62%, 64%, 64% his last 3 times out. So he's somebody who is very difficult to unseat as an incumbent. And Al Weed is trying a second time. He's got more money than he did have 2 years ago, so he's in a better position to advertise and get known. You know, he wasn't very well known when he ran 2 years ago. But it's still not viewed as a close race. I mean, there's really only essentially one close congressional race in Virginia, and that's down in the 2nd District, where Phil Kellum, the Democrat, is the only elected citywide Democrat in the city of Virginia Beach, and he's challenging Thelma Drake, the freshman Republican congresswoman from Norfolk. And that is viewed as one of the top 20 or 30 congressional races in the country.
That party leaders are watching Virginia Beach across the country.
They're pouring money in. The independent groups are pouring money in. It's going to be – that's Virginia's big congressional election in the 2nd District.
Where are they polling now, or is it even close?
They're dead even.
Wow.
Absolutely dead even, which is essentially what George Allen and Jim Webb are now.
Yeah.
Now, you can't say that for Virgil Goode and Al Weed. Virgil Goode still has a significant lead over Democrat, his challenger, Al Weed.
We're talking with political reporter Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk about a young man named Dick Wadhams, who came to Virginia and is making waves.
He's not that young.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Well, it sounded good. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, political reporter. George is on the phone from Fluvanna. George, what took you so long to call?
Well, I waited until you did an interesting segment.
Well, thank you very much.
Bob, how long can Webb be the non-existent by surrogate candidate I don't think that's a way to run in the state of Virginia.
I agree with you. I think he's got to come out, and he's got to come out and get known and make his case for why he would be a better senator than George Allen. He hasn't done that yet. He's been a very quiet candidate. He has to raise a lot of money. He's supposedly raised about $2 million since his primary win back in June, and that has been his main job over the past 2 months, which is one he doesn't particularly like, dialing for dollars. He is way behind George Allen, who's now running statewide ads. I've seen probably a dozen George Allen spots on TV in the last 3 or 4 days, and I haven't seen Webb mentioned on TV except in news reports.
Yeah, but missing Buena Vista, I mean, doesn't that really tick off a bunch of people? It's like a shad roasting or whatever they call it.
It is a must-make event, but he had a good excuse. He was in Lejeune, Camp Lejeune, South Carolina, with his son, Jimmy, who's about to take off for Ramadi for a tour in Iraq. So, you know, given that his son is taking off for Iraq as a Marine, he had a governor and a former governor pinch hit for him today, and that'll work for today. He just has to start getting on the air and start getting his views out there.
Yeah, well, Camp Lejeune's in North Carolina, but putting aside, it seems to me that, yeah, I agree that's a great excuse if that were your first shot at it. But he's been running a lot of these, and people vote for Virgil because they like him. And I think that is a key to getting elected in Virginia. There's something very hometown and nice about Virgil Good. I realize we're talking George Allen. I don't think I'm confused.
Well, no, and there's something and they both have in common. They both have a good common touch with people. They're easy to talk to. They're pleasant folks to talk to on the street. You know, you can see sharing a beer with either one of them.
I have met Virgil on several occasions. I've got to tell you, he acts like he's a normal guy.
Yeah.
And
no.
That helps. It's really got to help a politician.
It does. And that's why it's so tough. You've got the guy that Virginians know and then the guy that Virginians don't know as well. And the guy that Virginians don't know as well had better get known and had better get his views out there if he's going to have a chance, even with the wind at the back of most Democratic candidates.
Yeah, okay. I just am amazed at this race. I appreciate he needs money, but I also appreciate he needs recognition even more.
You know, back in the old days, this would have been the traditional start, and it would have been the real start as well of a campaign. Now, we're months into a campaign, and George Allen has been campaigning hard, and Jim Webb has been hardly campaigning.
Yeah, well, Bill Clinton invented that, which is campaign 24 hours a day for your entire incumbency. Okay, Coy, you don't like that, but there you are.
No, I don't have any problem with that. I think you're right on. I think you're dead on. And here's my question. And, George, hang on the line. If Webb wins, and at this point I know it's statistically a dead heat, but I still think it's, you know, a long shot here in the Commonwealth. If he wins, does it say something then about how we've been thinking about the way to run, that you don't need to do what has traditionally been done to win, that Webb may have discovered something, even if it's by accident, about how to win in a big race in Virginia?
Not at all. I think that if you want to know how to win in Virginia, ask Mark Warner. Much as I don't like him, hey, he's a winner.
You know, you're right about Mark Warner. He and George Allen went down the same street in Buena Vista today. Mm-hmm. Each of them a very popular fellow because each of them had been there a dozen times.
Yeah, and I bet each of them got handshakes and good to see yous and all that stuff that counts in a race.
Yeah, you got to show up for the parades and the barbecues and the shad plankings. George, thank you so much for the call. Look forward to talking to you again. Interesting or not, let us hear from you. And let's talk about Dick Wadhams. You had a column, Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, a column yesterday called Wadhams' Use of Bloggers Debated. Tell folks first who Dick Wadhams is, and then my question is, did he call you? Did he berate you? I mean, what is...
No,
have to read between the lines here. He obviously had some communications with you.
We've had a number of telephone conversations. He hasn't called back as many times as he said he would, so I expect to hear from him again. He is a transplanted Coloradan who probably 15 years ago became the preeminent Republican campaign figure behind the candidates in the state of Colorado. And since that time, he's won 8 or 9 statewide races. including one 2 years ago that put him on the national map when he took John Thune to a victory over Senator Daschle in South Dakota. That was the race that, that made his reputation. And then he brought his reputation and his tactics to Virginia. And his tactics are, you know, I don't think he knows Virginia very well. His tactics are a little bit on the belittle and blast your opponent side.
Yeah, so he's one of those. And he has said publicly, and you quoted him in your article, that, you know, that he believes in going negative very strongly. And there's a lot of professional political consultants who will tell you, some of them here in Virginia, that a candidate has a moral obligation to go negative, to as dramatically underscore the differences between he or she and their opponent as might exist.
Well, it works. Unfortunately, in our politics today, people aren't paying as much attention as they might. They don't know both candidates and all of their positions. And whatever sticks is often the negative charge that's thrown loudly in the mail and on television.
Yeah. And, of course, Dick Wadhams, your article is about the fact that Dick Wadhams was actually paying bloggers to do what exactly? To just talk up his candidates?
No. They weren't just talking up his candidates. They were dissing the other side. They basically were saying that the largest newspaper in South Dakota was not believable because it was in bed with the campaign of Senator Daschle. They were accusing reporters of being biased. They were accusing the Daschle campaign of basically being so out of touch with South Dakotans that he was introducing legislation in Washington to benefit himself because he wanted a perfect cell connection as he drove through Rock Creek Park in D.C. and, of course, that isn't necessarily the reason he was introducing that legislation. But when you have paid bloggers who can go out and trash somebody, as Dick Wadhams was doing to Senator Daschle,
which is not illegal.
It's not illegal.
Yeah.
The truth sometimes gets lost in the charges.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday for a political update. You can catch his columns in the Charlottesville Daily Progress at least, what, 2-3 times a week? We see your byline there, maybe even more.
Sometimes more, sometimes less.
Bob, have a great week, and we appreciate the update.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.